Welcome to iHeartGeek.
And welcome to another episode of iHeartGeek. We are discussing Falcon and Winter Soldier episode 3. We are halfway through the series, guys.
Yeah, we are.
Halfway.
What?
Can you believe that's happening so fast?
Raced through.
Yeah, because the WandaVision stuff made us go so long. And this is just like, okay, we're going to get you everything. So we saw some things happen really fast this week that we probably could have seen happen in a couple weeks. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm Dub. I am here with Christina, and I'm here with Skeeter, and I'm here with Tyler, and I'm here with Griffin. How y'all doing today?
Great.
We're all excited to watch this one?
Oh, yes.
Seven times I've watched it. Yes.
Whoa, wow. That's borderline obsessive.
Almost.
Just a little.
Get anything done this weekend?
I did. I cooked a big, huge Easter dinner, too.
Happy Easter, y'all. This does come out on Easter evening.
Yes.
I'm guessing everything will be washed and all the eggs will have been found by now.
If not, you'll find them in 2 weeks when you smell them.
Yucky. Okay, so just like how we always do this, we're going to go through this scene at a time, kind of the way that I've defined the scenes. So, and please watch the show first, because otherwise this will make... It'll spoil it and it will make no sense at all, really.
Yeah.
Because you'll hear me getting angry about stuff that... There's a thing or two. Okay.
Spoiler alert.
You're not allowed to have to watch this if you're not expecting spoilers.
I feel like we should start these with like a big whoop, whoop, spoiler.
Watch it first if you... Yeah. I don't know, spoiler culture. Okay, scene one, which is really the commercial. We have the GRC. It feels shady. It feels evil. It feels like this is who controls U.S. agent and nobody else.
It feels 100%
yucky. 100%
in agreement. Any thoughts on this, guys? Skeeter, you got anything on this?
I just feel like it's very propaganda-y kind of... You know, I don't know. Something right about it. So it just didn't sit well with me, like from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't find the words. They're like, what's going on? This is weird. So I don't know.
What about you, Griffin? Did you get anything off of this weird scene here?
Yeah, I started smiling. I mean, soon as it started, it popped up. You had that cheesy commercial feel. Mm-hmm. But I did. I definitely knew that we got to see a lot of new things come up with that kind of organization. So it's coming together. I'm glad.
Yeah, I think we've seen S.H.I.E.L.D., we've seen Hydra, we've seen S.W.O.R.D. They've all turned evil. I think we're about to see that. Tyler, what about you? Do you get anything new off of this?
It was just creepy.
Yeah, it's cringy.
Yeah, it just doesn't sit well. We're in for something.
This is what I used to watch when I was waiting in the MEP station when I was going in the military. This would be the commercial that would be on repeat. You will love your country. Yes. And it's like, scary. There's some interesting things about the GRC, but we'll get to that in a minute. But it's kind of, and I want to just throw this in, how they're looking. Setting themselves up as the heroes. I find it really interesting that they're not only finding places for new people, they're kicking people out of... I think that's interesting. We'll get to that. So, yeah.
Okay, so you didn't call my name, so I'm just going to jump in.
Go ahead.
My thing is, these are all people that were gone for 5 years. I feel like, of course, they're going to be nicer to them because they have half of the population as test subjects now. Like, what happened? Why did they go? Like, you know, very similar to when they tested on super soldiers. These people, you know, how did they just reappear?
Well, I feel like they really do know because the Thanos thing. I mean, they have eyewitnesses from all over the place.
Right. But like, where were they during that time? And how did, you know, that's what I think. I think there's going to be a lot of testing and stuff. That's what the government does.
Okay.
Well, they got in the commercial, they do mention changes in laws and things like that, that they're going to help acclimate them to, but they also mentioned changes in borders.
Yeah.
So that's kind of strange. These things might not be something they would have agreed on. So they're going to come in real nice and easy.
Gee, you know? Like we've seen, it might be like the UN all over again. And this is not political, I promise. Okay, let's go to scene two. We get to see U.S. agent. Yes, we get it. He's a D-bag. However, he held back. And me as a human being at that moment, I would not have. I would have put my fist so far through that guy's face after spitting on me that I would feel the wall on my knuckles.
You're not Steve Rogers.
But neither is he. And he never claimed to be. Okay, please. Stop trying to make this Captain America Steve Rogers. He's not. You know, and that's why everyone has vilified him so much. He's not. And is he a D-bag? Yes. Is he a bad guy? Yes. And he really shows that later. He's not Steve Rogers.
Then he should go by U.S. agent, not Captain America.
He didn't put that on himself. The government did. And I say, I'm not, on his side, but.
And, no, I know.
I think he's getting some definite undue hatred.
I also think Battlestar held him back. He didn't hold himself back.
If you
rewatch that, I think that might be more of like we're talking about, Young Avengers, and maybe he needs to see him for who he is.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tyler.
Maybe a lot of us would agree that when you're dealing with some of the people he was dealing with, that'd be his tactics could be called for or fair.
They would be correct. I'll tell you why in a second. Yeah.
But it also does highlight how he operates in a completely different way than Cap ever would have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you know who I am? He's definitely loving the power that shield gives him.
As any human being on the planet would.
Right. But, Cap thought he had to live up to what America and that shield meant to him.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
We'll get into Sam later.
But I also want to say that Battlestar seemed to, I don't want to say disagree with the way he was acting, but you can see a little something there.
He has somewhat of a moral compass, and you will see that later if we get a Young Justice.
If you go back to last week's episode, he even tells him, you can't just power through this like you do.
Yeah.
So I think that he knows that there's some sort of propensity to this type of behavior.
Okay, now I want to throw this out, and then we'll start with Griffin and Skeeter on this part of it. The Flag Smashers are using the terrorist handbook on growing a local support. They're doing stuff to make local people like them, even though they're doing highly evil things. This is terrorism 101. That's what I took out of it. Griffin, what's your thoughts on that?
I think you're hitting it right there. I hope I'm not cutting quarters, but it kind of like the only scene I felt like it went through is, they are terrorists. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. they were getting refugee. I think we saw in the last episode. But then it's like, the guy with the long hair is like, all right, we're doing great things. And then the main evil younger woman, she's just like, get in that car. And you know what scene I'm talking about. And it's like, that's what makes them evil, is that the guy was kind of caught off guard because he's like, no, we're supposed to be the good guys. And she's like, we are, but we need something to get, they need something to get behind, and this will make them. So yeah, that's what I think about it.
Yeah. I mean, this is when I did counter surveillance terrorism stuff when I was in the military, this is what they would say. This is how this works. And it's, they're using the handbook. Skeeter, what about you, bud?
I think that, they're playing the good guy, they're stealing food, they're stealing, they're taking all this stuff and they're taking it to these refugees. But I see it as, being military as well, being, coming from that background and getting all the training during the war on terror and things like that, what are these people doing? What are the terrorists, these terrorist camps doing? they're building themselves up. They're doing all this good stuff for their own people to get them on their side,
mm-hmm.
ultimately to grow their agenda, to grow their, yeah. their peace. And that's what they, you know, you see the, you know, the guy, I don't know exactly what his name is, but the guy's, you know, standing there and he's like, yep, they're right there. We're going to get in there. We're going to do what we can. Mm-hmm. We're going to recruit. We're going to grow these people and we're going to do the right thing. And then he's like, but do you remember what it felt like?
Yeah.
And
we'll get to all that soon, yeah. but yeah. Now I think that Christina and Tyler are going to disagree with me. Let's start with Tyler first. I think he's going to disagree with me less. So.
On what?
Oh, just that, the terrorists. They are terrorists. There is no.
They are.
Ifs, ands, or buts. They're bad people. Everything they're doing is a manipulation.
Most of my thoughts are going to kind of come into play with
later
a scene we're going to talk about.
Okay, now moving on to scene three. The enemy of your enemy is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This, you know, I've never had an understanding for Zemo until this. Is he evil? Yes. Do I kind of understand where parts of where he came from? Yes. Does that mean he's not evil? No, he's still evil. But I think it's really interesting. But it was a fantastic jailbreak scene and all that. But I have a question for everybody. Did Bucky come up with a plan or did Zemo? That's kind of the important question. Christina, let's start with you on that one.
Well, first, I just want to say last week we were 100% right about cell block 2187 being a foreshadowing of a prison break. So I thought that was pretty cool. Zemo's a master strategist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that he's reading Machiavelli, come on.
Yeah.
But I also think that I think it was mutual because I think Bucky also understands that Zemo's hate for the super soldiers is stronger than not jumping in and helping them. Yeah. But I also think that he greatly underestimates him.
Very good. Tyler, what about you?
Talking about their scene when they're meeting.
Yeah, the whole meeting.
I really like how he immediately, it's right in the forefront of his mind, he immediately starts feeling Bucky out. He, you know, throws those words out there, see who he's dealing with.
Yeah.
I also really liked how this whole scene, when they first kind of walked up, it really mirrored Silence of the Lambs when she met Lecter.
Yeah.
You know, that was, I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Your question about was it, I think that kind of plan would have been in the Winter Soldier's training.
But it's an important question.
It is. And I think we'll get maybe. We'll get a little something on that later. We'll find out who really came up with that. Maybe they'll show a little cutback.
Who do you think did, Griffin?
I'm going to lean towards Zemo.
Bucky. I think Bucky did. Personally, just because, I mean, yes, Zemo is bad, but honestly, this fleshes out his character so much mm-hmm. of what we didn't get in Civil War. Because, like, Civil War, we got, like, I felt for the dude. I mean, yeah, he's still bad. Everybody knows it, but you can't sit in a room and go. I mean, the Avengers did kind of drop a whole city on his family. But
he was doing bad stuff before that too.
Yeah, no, he was special ops and like doing all that stuff. But I do like how he's kind of how he just walks up and he's opulence and he's just like, yeah, I come from like a family of war criminals and stuff like that. So I dug that and I love him even more. But I think honestly that when it comes down to it, I don't see anything wrong with, well, I mean, yes, there's obvious things wrong with Bucky going, but I think Bucky knew what he was doing. I mean, even though years of being the Winter Soldier has messed up his mind and all that,
mm-hmm.
he's taken a lot from it. I mean, if anybody is having question of who came up with the plan, look at the first time he was in the therapy session.
Yeah.
And he was going after the guys. And he's like, what's rule number two? Don't hurt anybody. And he's talking to Sam. The same thing is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell by Zemo's reaction to it. He's just kind of like, okay, we're doing this. So I think Zemo's hate for the super soldiers outweighs the deal. I mean, he says it right up front. He's like, I have nothing against you. You were just a tool.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, I don't want to cut anybody off, but like, he's a super soldier too.
True. Yeah. Well, and I want to say this, that I think that both of you guys that said the other person is correct. I think Winter Soldier did quote unquote come up with it. However, I think that Zemo is the world's greatest master chess player. He had everybody sized up within half a second of when they entered the room. He knew 10 steps ahead what you were going to do and what he was going to do. He is brilliant. So did he come up with a plan? Probably. Did he make Bucky come up with a plan? Probably.
Master manipulator.
That's, and I'd say that's part of what makes him so evil, but so fascinating.
Right. The fact that he's reading Machiavelli is kind of funny too.
Yeah. Well, that's the ends justify the means.
Evil and, yeah.
Yep. We seem to get a lot of that in this episode. The ends justify the means. There's a lot of bad stuff that's going to happen, and we all know it, but. Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. Bucky's not asking Sam's approval on anything anymore, or at all.
We'll get to that in a minute. I 100% agree. Okay, let's go on to scene. What are we for? I have a question. How old is Zemo? Did you see the age of those cars?
Those cars.
His family collection.
He has been the one that has been chasing super soldiers for since World War II. Apparently, how old is he?
Well, first of all, that collection would make Jay Leno drool.
Oh, my. It makes me drool.
It is amazing. But, you know, when he grabs the purple mask, that was his dad. His dad wore the mask when he fought and he was trying to kill Cap. Oh,
okay. That's why. Okay.
Yeah. So that mask was like an emblem that I think, that's why I think we should never underestimate him. And what you said about him being 10 steps ahead is so dead on, because it's not just super soldiers, it's superheroes that he has a problem with. So when he picked up that mask, I got chills, because from the comics, that's Baron Henrik Zemo. So yeah, that's his dad.
And that's what I grew up reading, actually. So this is actually kind of a new Zemo for me, unless you're just reading him in the current iteration. Yeah. I read the old stuff because that's what I grew up with. You know,
because you're awesome.
Because I'm old.
Hey, now.
It's one of those things. Okay, so I thought it's hilarious. The butler was not pleased to have Avengers on board at all.
Oh, yeah.
Not at all.
And that very, very, you know, stodgy, professional way he did it, he greeted him with a smile and an F you at the same time.
Yeah.
It was really...
Well, and Sam was awkward, and Bucky was just F you right back.
Yeah.
That's what I loved.
Which was perfect. Yep. Let's see, where else are we at? Now, let's talk about this for a minute. Bucky has Zemo has Bucky's notebook, which is Steve's notebook. Mm-hmm. This is so many layers of wow. Let's start with the top layer. Let's look at Zemo is looking, and he knows exactly what that list is, because he's been following his career pretty closely. And then the next layer, and I'll let you guys go hit into the next layer. Let's start with Skeeter on that. That next layer, that he actually still has Steve's notebook. And not a notebook that looked like his notebook. And he's writing in it.
It's just, it's, you can take that, you know, it just adds that layer to the story of, you know, that what Zemo's purpose is, where he's headed. Like, what was his purpose in Winter Soldier? What was his purpose, you know, going back to Civil War and, you know, and everything that happened? Like, what did he do? You know, he was trying to end the super soldiers.
Yeah.
Going back, did he know that there was more and more and more and more and more? I mean, you have to think, but in this iteration of him, it's like, okay, we're gonna stop this before it gets out of hand. But how does he even know how far it's gone?
Yeah.
Like, that's the hard part. Like, he knows the layers that he has to go to. You hear that in the conversations, but, you know, where is he at now? What's going on?
Griffin, do you think it's okay that he's writing in Steve's notebook, or should that be, like, hallowed?
You know, I think if he's going to take... I don't think he deserves the mantle of Cap. Even though he is fighting for Sam to get it, I think
really?
That he should... Yeah, I
we'll get into this later, because this is going to be a big one.
I don't... He's messed up. If we haven't seen the past two episodes how messed up he is, I don't think he'd make a good Cap. I mean, I don't think Sam's doing a good job right now. He really needs to pick that shield up and just grow, yeah. You know, grow a pair. But I think at the same time, if Bucky's going to have anything, at least give him that.
Yeah, fair enough. He has a piece of Steve. Tyler, what about you? Same question.
Oh, that just seeing that he has a notebook, and Zemo gets a glance at it like that, he'll commit that to memory. I think because he's using Bucky right now. He's a useful idiot to him, you know. And I think later on he'll use the info he even saw in that notebook, probably track him down. Or
something. Oh, he's memorized everything in that notebook, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. And he sees that. He knows what it is.
Yeah.
And he sees his name in there, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think he's really going to come around and use that to his advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to make amends. So, you know, just do this for me and we'll have a chat. You know, or whatever.
Christina?
Well, I think the fact that the name that he called out specifically shows us that he is still in very close tracking of Bucky's life.
Yeah. From jail.
From all the names he could have picked out. But I also think it showed a very, very human side of Bucky again. And I feel like he's trying to get back to the Bucky from Captain America. And I think he can do it. I'm a big believer.
Yeah. I have a new theory, and I think that Sam wants Bucky to have the shield. And I'll tell you why. Because of how disappointed he is that he doesn't like the same music as Steve did. That, because he's trying to make him into Steve. I think he wants to give him the shield. I think he feels he's more deserving of the shield than Sam is. Just an interesting thought on that one. Okay, so let's move on. Let's actually pop that. Okay, let's go to scene 5, the resettlement camp. So the lady that died, was it tuberculosis from being overcrowded, or did she get a bad reaction to the super soldier serum?
You mean the serum that they stole?
The 20 that
we were led to believe were vaccines?
Yep. Because there was 20 total, yeah. And they've used 12, and there's 11 super soldiers.
Yeah, that, they
I've counted 11. I think she had a bad reaction. She's dying. Maybe.
So. Yeah, maybe they were going to use it like a vaccine for her, try and save her. She seems to be pretty prominent with them.
Yeah,
you know, and it went the inspiration maybe for the Flag Smashers. Yeah, she had that charm hanging on her hand.
Yeah.
So
is there anybody that thinks it wasn't the serum, that it's just was literally just a nothing disease and she's dying? No. Mm-mm.
I think there's going to be connections across a lot of this that have caused their anger or their rage other than, you know, just this whole,
yeah.
You know, one people, one whatever, one world, you know,
one
people, I think that they're looking for, you know, they're going to show us multiple reasons other than just that one, you know, that, you know, they want the blip back. They want all that back. I think they're trying to expand their horizon as far as, well, we're getting revenge for something that we're going to talk about soon, you know,
mm-hmm.
here shortly.
I do wonder if her death isn't what caused some of the line crossing that we're about to see.
Maybe
because, you know, I feel like there's people that help us hold on to our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And without those people, we lose our moral compasses.
Maybe. Now,
because
I was going
to say her reaction is so strong.
Yeah. but you can also look at the Carl
Morithau,
who she's based on, who was based off of, and there was no sympathy there. That was so. Here's where I have trouble separating the source material from what we're getting now. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. So you might have something there that this is what set her over the edge. Maybe. And this is also where we find out that these are people that got moved that, well, we will learn about it a little bit later, but we'll talk about it now. What we were talking about earlier with these are people that had their houses, had their homes, they lived through the blip, and then they got removed. And I want to know how that works.
Right.
You know, that's scary. You know, that's, you know, and which gives you, you know, I'm not saying they're right, but I'm saying that that gives you a lot of understanding why they would be doing that. Just a thought. Let's see, where are we at? Now we are on scene six, Madripoor. Tyler, let's start with you because you had some interesting notes on Madripoor and the bar that they went to.
Oh, well, I'm not sure they went to that bar, but you mm-hmm. see, what is it? Yeah, Princess Bar.
Princess, yeah.
And Princess Bar was a place that Wolverine used to frequent when he'd go into the Alias Patch.
Yep.
So I found that to be pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. We're getting all sorts of X-Men stuff.
We are.
We'll see it again, too.
Yeah.
Which I don't like what it says about things, but the music that they have playing in this club is perfect. I love it. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the spiked shoes of it. I don't know why. That's just that one stuck in my head a lot.
The stilettos.
And I love the graffiti. Power Broker is watching. And that's
mm-hmm.
and the way it was like just very 1984. Everywhere. Yeah, it was very 1984.
Yeah.
So which means yes, they're lawless, but they're a whole different kind of they're the exact same kind of evil that we're seeing from GRC and that we're seeing from Flag Smashers. It's all the same evil.
It's all the same recipe, absolutely.
Which is frightening.
We can definitely see the director of this episode. You know, we see his style of direction.
Yeah.
And see his vision. Mm-hmm. The director of this episode directed John Wick.
Yep. So, I can see that a lot, especially in Madripoor.
So
the as text soon as message.
We get as soon as we get to Madripoor, we're like, what? Like this city looks really crazy. Like it kind of took me back to you know, when they brought what's his name?
Hawkeye
back in when they went to go get him.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
I bet that's the same area. Yeah.
When he was Ronin, I wonder, you know, that looked really similar, but, you know, and it might be. So thinking about all of those things, like when I saw it, I was all, what is happening? And then it just kind of takes this other level. Then I see the Princess Bar and I'm like, okay, we're getting a lot of X-Men stuff. You know, the whole thing with, is it Elijah? At Isaiah's place, his grandson or whatever. I mean, going back
to another Young Avenger,
you know, the Young Avenger, but the whole time he's playing, he's setting himself up. He was telling everybody, yeah, I got super soldier blood in me, this and that and the other thing. When the actuality, when I said this in the first episode, he's sucking down the mutant growth hormone.
Yeah.
Until he actually gets a blood transfusion from Isaiah later on down, you know, in the comic.
No spoilers, of course, world. But that's comics only. Yeah.
Right. That's comics only. But, you know, I mean, he's doing these things. We're getting these little pictures. So there's something going on. I mean, there's definitely some X-Men
stuff,
otherworldly stuff happening. I don't know what it is, but it's coming.
Another thing, there's two more things that I really want to hit from inside the bar before we have the meeting. One is the snake drink. Gross.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, that was the first time that I have seen Bucky look at Sam with any respect at all.
Right.
He like,
yeah, I caught that.
He holds it down. And just for a second, Bucky's all,
My man.
Which honestly, that's the most respect he's ever gotten from him. And that was because that was not an easy thing. Because you could feel it coming up in your throat when he drank it. It was foul.
Sam is so such a bad actor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not the actor that plays him, but Sam is terrible.
Are we going to mention Sam's disguise?
I loved it. I want to wear that suit. As a
smiling tiger?
Yes, and where have we seen Smiling Tiger before? Not in the MCU, but we've seen him in the comics.
In the Thunderbolts?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're going to see Red Hulk come out sooner or later. We know.
I'm just going to find something each time. Throw it in there.
And then finally, I love Winter Soldier just coming in and coming unglued and breaking rule number two.
Yep.
Griffin, yeah, I haven't heard from you in a few minutes. How necessary was it that he broke everything that he's been working towards? And does that set him back?
I don't think he's been really. I think that Buck is kind of willing to do whatever it takes to ensure that this super soldier thing, these terrorists are done with, and everything happening with Zemo is finished. Mm-hmm. As far as like him going back to prison and then Sam getting the shield. And I think he'll go to whatever lengths to see that. I don't really think he's working on himself as a person until, like, because I mean, he was, you know, in the first episode we saw he was trying to right his wrongs and stuff, but it's like obviously he broke Zemo out and Zemo was like, I need you to get someone you thought was gone, and he was like, okay, yeah, if that means you're gonna do your work, then yes. So I personally, the bar scene, I thought he had to do what he had to do. So yeah.
Christina, what about you?
First of all, that's a phenomenal scene. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It was gorgeous. Who does not love watching Bucky in action?
It was John Wick.
Yeah, Sebastian Stan is just amazing in the expressions that he puts, not just with the fluid of the movements, but his actual expressions and how he perfects that dead eye just floors me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was telling you, I read something where somebody said, well, clearly he's under Zemo's control. No, he's not. But that moment definitely convinced somebody enough to write this big blog about it, which he's mm-hmm. wrong. So we're not going to worry about that. But he perfects that deadeye.
Yeah.
And I don't think it sets him back. I think it makes him uncomfortable.
Bucky, the character, is a better actor than Sam, the character. What about you, Skeeter?
I don't think it set him back at all. I think it propelled him. I think he's trying to build this trust with Zemo, because what are we thinking right now? We're all thinking that, well, Zemo's he wants to kill all the super soldiers. He wants to get rid of them all. And for every all it's worth, Bucky's still a super soldier.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's going to be in the back of our minds this whole time. Like, at what point is it going to happen? So considering mm-hmm. all these things, trying to connect that trust with Zemo and show him that, yep, I'm playing on your team, dude. Like, I'm not the same guy I showed you in the cell when you tried, you know, saying sweat socks and all the words to get him to switch. He's like, I'm not that person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to show him, yeah, dude, you can trust me. I'm still on, I'm on the same team.
Yeah.
I'm just not the same person.
Nice. Okay, let's go up to scene 7, the meeting with Selby. First off, the phone call that Sam got discovered on was a bit much.
Ridiculous.
I thought that was honestly, that this is one of those things that happen when there's only 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That should not have happened. Worst part of the scene, in my opinion. Christina, go ahead.
It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And again, Sam is a terrible actor.
Yeah.
And it comes across so much. However, and I can't remember her name, but the girl that plays Selby, she's brilliant. Like, she owns that part. And I was really pleased with her and how she was handling things and her sense of humor when she looks at him and it's like, rawr. Like, I thought it was just hilarious.
She was a cougar.
she was so good.
Yeah.
Nope. Oh, it's done. Sorry.
Okay. When they did the walk-off after, you know, they got discovered and they're doing the walk-off, if you've ever seen the movie The Warriors, you have 30 seconds of The Warriors right there with that walk-off. And, you know, when all the gangs are coming after them,
yeah,
and they're walking through out of the subway or to the subway, that was it there. And I'm like, they had to have drawn inspiration from it because it was just so there. And I love The Warriors, so that's one of those
things. Hey, can I just say that having Zemo touching Bucky's face like that, man.
How angry did you get?
Commitment to the bit. Because Bucky, I'm sure, wanted to snap his neck.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to get the job done.
Yeah. I think I speak for everybody. Everyone was excited to finally see Sharon show up. Did you guys catch that was her at first? Or did be honest, be honest. Oh. I didn't catch it was her at first.
No.
Did anybody catch it at first?
I had no idea. Like, there's something crazy going on here. And then I was waiting for an eye patch and to see maybe Samuel L. I didn't know what was going on. And then boom. I was like, it's in the video.
Yeah, I saw it, but only because I accidentally saw a spoiler on it.
Yeah, okay.
So, accidentally. I was actually reading an article about the other show she's on, The Resident, and there was a little blurb at the bottom about it.
Yeah. All in all, kind of good scene on that one. On the rewatches, you can definitely tell it's her. And I'm like, how did everybody miss that?
Right.
That's all good. Scene 8. Sharon's doing all right for herself, huh?
Yeah, I'd say.
Okay, well, let's start before we get the theories. Do you think this is okay for her to do, being what she's gone through? If she's a criminal anyway? Let's ask that moral question on there. Is she more evil for doing this? Let's start with you, Griffin.
I was totally okay with, I don't know. I mean, I really feel for the people who go through the trauma and like kind of what on morality, you know, kind of like, you know, with Sharon, I mean, I loved how everybody was, no spoilers, but how like everybody's coming after Zemo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, soon as they hear that he's back, they're like, oh, yeah, I got beef with that guy. And I love how she's like, dude, I can't see my face. Like, they're all, dude, why are you mad? It's us. Like, Sam's like, dude, like, it's me and Buck. Like, we are trying to like fix this. There's stuff going on. She's like, dude, I haven't seen my family in years. I don't honestly care what you got going on right now. That guy's the reason why I can't hug my mom or can't see my dad. Like, I'm going to put a bullet through his head because the laws here tell me I can. So honestly, like, if you guys were, you know, if that happened to you guys, I'm pretty sure any of us would, you know, feel the same.
Fair enough. And I love that Sam literally gave her the one night stand thing. I meant to call you. I was like, wow. He's had that discussion before, hasn't he? I'm just saying. Just kind of dirty pool on that one. Everybody hates Sam because of the shield, including Sharon. Yeah, I saw what you gave or who you gave that to. Good job. I'm like, yep, Sam's just enemy number one.
I think everybody's angry at him. I don't think everybody hates him.
Well, wait till the next scene, then I hate him.
I do want to say I'm definitely wondering who she's working for, only because that whole scenario would be a fantastic undercover story for her to end up in Madripoor in the first place.
And we will hit that in two scenes, actually at the end of this next scene. But yeah, little bit of patience. We're going to jump on there in just a second. And finally, on this scene, the Zemo dance is everything. Why is
somebody need more. Recreate it for me, please, right now?
We need more.
Why is that not a GIF? I'm just wondering.
It is.
Gonna... Okay.
Oh yeah.
That's going to be everywhere on our Discord after this. So
yes,
one more reason to go on our Discord.
You need that behind you while you're recording.
Oh, I do. Don't give me more toys to play with. You know that's a bad thing. Let's head on over to scene 8, the lab. Okay, I want to say that. I said this before. No matter what you're reading from the geek tabloids, Sharon is not the power broker.
Not at all.
No. He's not. She would have saved the lab and the doctor if she was the power broker. Period. She would have saved him. I think she didn't care that he died, to be honest with you. Yeah, so enough of that one just for a second. So what was your guys' take on the lab scene? Skeeter, let's start with you, bud.
It was too simple.
Really?
Okay. I think it was way too simple. Like, they get to this guy, I'll twist your arm. All right, I'll tell you everything. Like,
very convenient.
Like, yeah. Literally, why don't you have a busted tooth that you suck in your tooth and bite it and you're dead? Cyanide, whatever. Like
yeah.
Why? I mean, and that's where we're only getting this 6-week piece from, because that could have happened. Like, mm-hmm. we could have extended this not knowing piece, but now we know that he was sucked into the blip. He was doing it at first, got sucked into the blip. Now he's trying to do it again.
Yeah.
So, but what is he making now if he doesn't have the original stuff?
I think he's making more. He has to revamp production because it's all gone.
Right.
I think. So,
and they have to be testing this stuff on somebody. So who's dying from it? Where are they hiding these bodies? Up GRC? Isn't that what it's called?
Yep.
So
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. I am with Skeeter on this 100%.
Yeah. Interesting one. I think that Zemo killing the scientist was 100% on brand for his character. Everyone was surprised. Yeah. I'm like, you should be surprised that he didn't.
Why would you be surprised? That's literally his mission.
Yeah.
To destroy anybody trying to create.
He's literally just stopped. He's stopped the next branch.
I'd like to point out real quick that I agree with everybody when it's like, because that was my biggest question, was like even in Civil War too, like when Bucky opens up the trunk and there's 5 more super soldier serums. It's like, the important thing was it was like Red Skull and then Cap, and then Bucky got experimented on in World War II. Like that was kind of it. And then now all these super soldiers are coming up. I was hoping that this is going to be like out of just out of nowhere, but I thought it would have been okay and personally in better taste to connect it a little more if they got the thinker from, or I think he's the thinker, or no, the guy from The Incredible Hulk who was studying Mr. Blue.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't remember the name. One. Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like they shouldn't have gone the whole, whatchamacallit, the whole Hydra route.
Yeah.
And he should have been making the serum. I know that kind of sounds weird, but as for fast as it was, I felt it off-putting that he was just like, what the German doctor couldn't do back in the 40s. And I'm like, but you're no one. Like, you're kind of just this random guy.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like it would have been cool if it was him, because they were studying, Banner was studying Steve. Like, they were all, that's why, you know, but you guys get it.
Yeah, they couldn't kill a character that's a character.
Yeah.
That is true.
And one other thing that, since you said that I think is interesting, I hope they're not doing what they do with the X-Men. Everybody's just got this mutant gene, so that's just how it all happens. No, everybody's got the super soldier serum, so that's just kind of what happens. And I hope they don't do that. But it looks like that might be, since Griffin said that, actually, my brain's kind of thinking, I'm like, crap, they're going to do that, aren't they? This is the new mutant gene.
You decided to bring up the X-Men. I also want to point out that in the comics recently, they've confirmed Captain America was Weapon One. And we have, what did they say, 8 super soldiers running around?
Mm-hmm.
So, Weapon X?
Oh, that's good.
That's really good.
What's the MCU doing?
I wonder these things myself all the time.
I like to pull things out of left field. It's fun.
No, that works. Was anybody else surprised that Purple Mask Zemo didn't bolt?
Nope.
You
weren't? Because he is.
I thought
not,
he was gone.
Oh, he's not done with the superheroes. He's not.
He's
not.
A useful idiot.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not just the superhumans, it's the superheroes. Because he talks about that on the plane about how Cap is an icon, Hitler's an icon.
Mm-hmm.
He is far from done with these people.
Fair enough.
He wants to destroy all those symbols.
Skeeter, you had something on that?
You got to be careful with you know, the way he kind of kept that under wrap, you know, when he made that statement about, you know, the same Captain America was brought into in the reign of a similar icon, and superheroes are icons and this and that. Like, I'm pretty sure we lost a pretty substantial character in another universe because of making kind of the same statements. But, you know, like, I think that he's going to prove, like, I saw him not bolt.
Yeah.
Like, I saw him create a way, and then, like, you see him kind of walk off and you're like, uh-oh. But then what happens? He comes, he's like, the look on his face, he's like, ooh. So he saw something good, and then he comes back. You're like, yeah.
That Pontiac, though. Oh,
yeah.
All the testosterone, it's like all the midichlorians, it's just there.
Oh, my God.
You're welcome for that. Okay.
Well, and the best line in the whole movie, you're not going to move your seat, are you? No.
Nope.
Maybe call back Civil War.
Okay, let's do this. It is time. Who is Sharon? What's she doing? This brought up so many questions. Oh, I see you have a problem. No, we have two, or a few. So that means three.
We have a couple, and I'll tell you about them in the car. Yep.
Who? She's not just an art dealer.
No,
she's working for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody's chauffeuring her. So
yeah,
she's big up in that, and she's got serious information to take even higher.
And she just casually walks to the car. The car's just chilling right there.
After she killed how many people?
Was this, yeah, were they expendable? Was this set up? I mean, yeah. you go everywhere with it.
I mean, if that was the case, that's the only thing that would make sense as a power broker, that these people would literally kill themselves for her. But right. I don't see it.
Yeah,
I just don't see it.
I will say her fighting style is phenomenal. Oh,
yeah.
It's a lot like Widows.
Yes.
Yeah, very similar.
She can throw down. That was fun.
Griffin, who do you think she's working for?
I think everybody is gonna say she's working, or not the power brokers, but she's working for somebody. She's working for, you know, it's gonna be the Eva. Dude, I honestly think she's working for Nick, like straight to Nick. I don't think she's working for S.W.O.R.D. Mm. I think she's working, like, she's on Nick's payroll, like, private payroll, you know? Like, I don't think
which
she's
Nick?
A part of anything. Nick Fury.
No, but which Nick?
What do you mean?
Are we talking the Skrull version of Nick, or are we talking about real Nick?
No, real Nick.
Okay.
Up in the
that I'll accept.
But I don't think she's a part of S.W.O.R.D. I think that she's kind of doing, keeping an eye on everything, because you're no Nick.
Deep cover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She had the same kind of cell phone, that 2013 tech that they used. You know, she could be communicating with Nick Fury, but, you know, Nick Fury is now answering to Steve Rogers, who's on a moon
base. On the
moon.
And that makes more sense to me than anything else, honestly.
Or she's power broker.
She's not power broker. And she's not a Skrull.
Or
I swear if it's a Skrull, I'm going to take my computer and throw it. Yeah, you win.
Mephisto.
All the versions. Skeeter, I think you're the only one that hasn't weighed in. Who is she working for?
When Griff said that earlier, like we were talking about it, and I went, oh, heck no. I'm like, I really think this is a possibility, but she is an art broker.
Mm-hmm.
art broker. So,
ooh. Oh, I know where you're going.
I mean,
she's got the same last name.
She's got the same last name. Maybe they're
it's her cousin.
You know, I don't know. Oh, but yeah. Like, there's something a little deeper. Like, she went out there. Is she, like, it left that question. Is she good guy, bad guy? What's going on? Like, who's she playing with out there? Because it's a dirty place. Like, I mean,
it's gross.
This is the island of misfit toys, and they're trying to get stuff figured out. You know, out there, they're playing dirty games. They've got all this bad stuff, you know, mob time. So what's happening? Where's she at? Who's she working for? I want to say, with all the shooters, with the snipers in the alley when they were leaving the bar, that whole scene. This is kind of Nick Fury-esque.
Yeah.
I really think that this is going, like, that's where it's headed. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, she did have that talk up in the room with Sam, talking about, you know, the whole hero thing's a joke, right?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know how genuine that was, but
she could be feeling him out. Or it could be she just wants Peggy to come and kill her because she's talking all that smack. Yeah. I don't think Auntie will like that very much at all. Let's see. Let's go up to scene 9. We saw X-Men. We saw the symbols, two of them. But this asks you a question that I don't want to ask, but how are they intertwined with the GRC? Because that's a GRC building with X-Men on the front.
It's what the power broker is brokering. I don't think he's in Super Soldier Serum at all. I think that there's this mutant growth hormone that he's peddling, and I think there's two sides of this. You've got the warring factions of Super Soldier Serum, mutant growth hormone. This, I think, the power broker has something to do with the mutant side, the X-Men side, and that's where these, you know, that's what these encampments are. That's
possible. Maybe if they got relocated, they have the X gene, and that's why that some.
Or,
ooh,
what if the people that came back, when some of them are reassembled, for lack of a better term, they're reassembled with the gene? I know that's not in the comics, but that would be a brilliant direction to take it.
Yeah.
Because they're so obsessed with them.
In WandaVision, they kept mentioning that radiation, heavy levels of that radiation. And that was, that was the source of mutants, wasn't it?
Ooh, wow. That adds up a whole lot of questions. But
high five, Tyler.
Yeah, that was fantastic. We have to move on real quick. Scene 10, I am so done with U.S. Agent having the shield. I'm just over it. And once again, we have the same discussion, means to an end. You know, as long as we get the results, they're not going to say anything. That's been the whole theme of this episode. There's not much to talk about on that because we all know.
Since you brought him up real quick, I want to say that scientist talked about how his serum was more subtle.
Yeah.
No big jacked up, no clunky machinery and all that.
Yeah.
This dude can toss a shield after 24 hours of holding it like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's... I still don't
believe that he's a straight up, you know, really good at the CrossFit, you know?
He held his own against 10 super soldiers.
Right. And throws that shield pinpoint accuracy to save his buddy. Yeah, I mean,
and took that.
Griffin
hit on
does not agree.
Took that hit on the car without even blinking.
Then working with the GRC,
That would add. Ooh, that means a lot. Okay,
Griffin. There's nothing normal about the new Captain America U.S. agent. He's like, I studied Cap and I'm trained. There's a scene where he throws the shield, it ricochets, and he catches it while doing a kickflip, just like Cap. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, but even when Bucky throws the shield in Winter Soldier at Cap, he's like, oh! Like, yes, he was getting it thrown back at him, but even Steve, when he threw the shield, it still took him like a to get that shield like going. Like I just don't think he's this no, I'm he's just not. A guy. I don't believe that.
No. He's either a mutant or a super soldier, and we know what it is in the comics. Let's go out to scene 11. We call this Airplane 2. I like Sam a little bit less every time he talks about the shield. In fact, this was my breaking point. I no longer have any respect for Sam. Not the fact that I feel bad that I gave it away. He goes, I feel bad that I gave it away because I should have destroyed it.
I think he was vibing with Zemo when he's talking about the symbols and what they create and everything. Yeah, I think he was kind of on that whole train.
And I don't know the amount of joy when Bucky said, I will take it from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, that's why right? I'm really, as damaged as Bucky is, that's why he deserves the shield more than Sam.
I'm starting to feel that way too.
Yeah, he wants it not just to create, for a memory, but he wants to continue a legacy. Mm-hmm. And if right. Sam doesn't think he's qualified to continue a legacy, then he needs to step back.
Yep.
You heard her.
Yep. Let's go on to scene 12. So sorry, we're kind of running out of time. Otherwise, we'd be taking a little more time on that one. But scene 12, Carly is showing she's a true terrorist colors. You should not sympathize that this is the point that it's hard to sympathize at this point because she's evil. That is evil. They're killing people now when they didn't mm-hmm. have to. It wasn't just people got killed in the line of things. She intentionally murdered a multitude of people. Go ahead, Christina.
Okay, so I have to tell everybody, I absolutely dogged on Dub the whole before we started filming. And then when he got frozen out, I told everybody, Dub, I 1000% agree with you. You are just so fun to mess with.
Oh, wow. I thought that was going to be a fight after this one. I was not looking forward to this part.
I was.
That's why I do what I do. That's why I act like Bucky and not like Sam.
Because you can act, not Sam. So, and I think this is an important turning point. This is when it's time to stop sympathizing with her.
Yeah. I think I think the sad part is I think it's her because of how shocked her counterpart was in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think that in general, the people that started the Flag Smashers to a certain level had the right intention, but she has taken them over that line into destruction and she needs to end.
Yeah.
Always happens that way.
So I think that was an important scene and I'm glad that they didn't put it off anymore. Cause let's not let this character do the same playbook that she did in the beginning when what we were talking about with the 101 terrorist. Okay.
It was a complex scene.
Yeah.
Though,
it was. There was a lot to it.
She yelled at that guard, "You got all this supplies in here, feed all these people." Well, and they took it all. Then, hey, put on your seatbelt. Yeah.
It wasn't the guard's fault. He's just the guy that's working there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you almost sympathize. Yeah. Why are they holding on this food? Yeah. Good for you. And then lost that line.
Yeah. Not good for you. That's bad. Okay. Finally, let's do scene 13. Here comes Wakanda. We know where the rest of this series is going to be going.
Do we though?
Well, okay. No, I'm going to say I think we know the direction it's going to go. And now I don't know if we know where it's going. I think there's going. I don't think Zemo foresaw this. As much as he's seeing so many steps ahead, and Bucky knew that he didn't see it. That's why he hit it.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he waited until it went inside, then started grabbing it.
He's gonna get excommunicado from Wakanda, though, for sure. But I think it's maybe. Worth it.
Oh, I think this has to happen. Well, without T'Challa there anymore, things have got to change unless they bring in Storm. And yeah, that's the only way I'm gonna be happy. Skeeter, what was your thoughts on that?
So it took me a second. I was like, wait, what is going on? And then I looked at Griffin. I'm all, oh no. Like, now it just screwed everything up. Like, mm-hmm. Zemo is wanting to take out all the super soldiers and the superheroes and all this stuff, but he wants to get to the bottom of it first. But now we just brought Wakanda back into the game. So we're like, are they going to go? What's going to happen to Zemo? Like,
yeah.
Where are we going to get with this game now? So we don't have that many episodes. So to add something like this in right now, it's going to monkey the work so bad.
A little bit.
I think next week has to be completely explosive from the moment they start.
Yeah, it's got to start strong. It's got to move, and it's got to answer some questions quickly.
Yeah,
quickly.
We have got to see the shield back on the right body, even if it's going back and forth between Sam and Bucky. I don't care. It's got to go on the right side. It cannot. If they do it till the end, I am upset. Oh. Okay, that's an episode, guys. Holy poop.
I had one thing I wanted to throw out there.
Fire it away.
We skipped over their little stroll in the street there when he was talking about, oh, you have a guilt tripping him about not visiting the Sokovia Memorial and all that.
Oh, yeah.
He mentions that that Sokovia was cannibalized by its neighbors before the rubble was cleared.
Yeah.
And if you look around in the part of the world that they're in, their neighbors could possibly be Latveria, home of Dr. Doom.
That's interesting. There's
a buttload of vibranium in that rubble.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that could
dang, be Tyler.
Maybe that's why the X-Men are there. Because I know some certain people that might like to have some vibranium, some adamantium, which is a derivative. Just saying. Yeah,
because we got 9 super soldiers and we need Weapon X.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm in.
a lot of Wolverine hints. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, okay. No, I got to kill us now. This was a show. Check out the website, www.iheartgeekshow.com. Use com. We paid extra for it. Go to our Patreon. We have all the Star Wars movies recorded. We're about to go through every Marvel movie in chronological order.
Yes.
That's a job. Just getting lots of extra content on there for you. $5. You can do it. It's all good. So until next time, go to Facebook and like our stuff and share it, because that's the best thing in the world.
Is caring.
Sharing is caring. And I'm Dub, and I'm here with Christina and Skeeter and Tyler and Griffin. Keep on geeking on, guys, and we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to the latest episode of the iHeart Geek Show. Make sure you visit our website at www.iheartgeekshow.com. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you check us out on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And keep on geeking on to all of you geek rock stars.